Hello and welcome to another episode of Locked on Wolves. Today on the show, Hoopsype conducted a survey of 15 NBA executives. Where did Anthony Edwards rank among players that NBA front offices would most want to start their team with under the age of 25? He ranked lower than you would think, and I have some problems with that list. Plus, a couple more player previews here today on the show as we start to get into rotation players for Chris Finch's group. Welcome in. You are Locked on Wolves.
You are Locked on Timberwolves. Your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. Today's episode is brought to you by Bet Online. Bet Online has you covered this season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. Bet Online, where the game starts. Happy Friday, everybody. Happy weekend. Hopefully you've had a fantastic week thus far. Today on the show, first of all, a big thank you for making Locked On Wolves your first listen every day. Of course, you can find the show free and available everywhere, including YouTube, as well as all of your favorite audio platforms. You can also follow the show on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves and at B Beacon with two B's, two E's, C-K-E-N. I want to cover first today. This is the time of year where we get all these offseason lists, these rankings. It's a roller coaster, I think is the best way to say it. The NBA.com GM survey isn't out yet. It should be out soon. There's been some ESPN stuff out there. Well, Hoopsype has come out with, I believe, their first such survey. This was polled, or the polling was done by Michael Scotto of Hoopsype, who does a really good job, a good breaking news guy for Hoopsype. And he polled 15 NBA executives. It does not say what role they are. I guess the NBA.com GM survey says they're GMs, but who knows how many GMs are actually voting or if there's a proxy voting. But 15 NBA executives, for whatever, you know, take that for what it's worth, for whatever it is worth. They were asked to rank their top five players in the league that are under 25 years old at the start of the season to build around. I guess they did it for the first time last year. So I take that back. This is the second time they've done it. Perhaps not surprisingly, now, I wouldn't say this is surprising at all. Luka Doncic finished first in this poll. What is a little surprising is that he was a unanimous first place among players under 25. Granted, he led the Mavericks to the season that they ultimately had last year. And so from that standpoint, I understand it. I still am a little surprised he's number one. Surprised he's unanimous. Jason Tatum is, of course, number two. He received 11 of the 15 second place votes among NBA executives in this Hoopsype poll. Those two guys, 1-2, make some sense. I think I would have put Anthony Edwards third. I maybe could have seen Evan Mobley. At this point, I don't think you could put Zion Williamson there. Instead, Ja Morant got third on this list. He received, he had four NBA executives. So 11 of the 15 picked Tatum second. The other four all picked Ja Morant at second overall. And there's a quote from an NBA executive that says, "I'm a believer in building around playmakers, and that's why I love him." I think this is crazy. And maybe the guys on Lockdown Grizzlies are going to want to come on and defend this, or defend Ja, I should say. I think this is absolutely crazy, and I'll tell you why. We'll get to where Ant is first, and then I'll tell you why. I'll finish the ranking first. Number four on this list is Evan Mobley. He had five rank him as high as third. Five of the 15 executives rank him third. Anthony Edwards is down at number five. There were two that voted him as high as third. Of course, nobody voted him second or first. So two had him as high as third. The others, it seems like, were split among four, five, and potentially six. There's a quote from an executive that says, "He took a huge step last season," meaning Edwards. "He played better defense and can score the ball," which is the understatement of the century. "He's got the potential to be a two-way player." Well, I would argue he's a two-way player now. He's already a plus on-ball defender. It's the consistency thing, and it's the off-ball defense. Right. So I'll be the first critic of Ant out there. Sometimes I'm too critical. I think that's definitely true. His efficiency wanes, his effort wanes, essentially, sometimes off the ball defensively. To have him fifth behind Ja and Evan Mobley, and I get it. Ja's done it for a year longer. He's gotten his team to the second round of the playoffs. The Memphis Grizzlies were arguably the best team in basketball for a long stretch last year, but they withstood Ja being on the sideline for a long time. And take into account Ja's size, take into account his lack of shooting ability. Ant is a better shooter than Ja Morant. He's far bigger, and he's a far better defender. A better defender, a better shooter, and a better build for durability at the NBA level. I don't understand why you would take a point guard, albeit a dynamic and fantastic point guard. And this isn't a jaw bashing session because he's amazing. He's an all-star. He's a fantastic player. But to take him two spots ahead of Anthony Edwards is pretty asinine, in my opinion. I don't really understand it. And let me be very clear. Ja was better than Ant last year. Okay, so I should have led with that. Ja was better than Anthony Edwards last year. He should be ahead of him in just a standard NBA rank. But to say that you would start your franchise with Ja Morant over Anthony Edwards, that I'm shocked that that apparently was a popular opinion. For all the reasons I mentioned, Ant's younger. I mean, not a lot younger, but he's younger. He's a better shooter. He's a better defender. He's going to be, very likely, knock on wood, more durable given his build. The way Ant and Ja play similarly around the rim. Ja's a better finisher than Ant at this stage. But Ant has the build, hopefully, to sustain. Now, obviously, he had some ankle and some knee issues last year, and hopefully that's not, you know, a sign of things to come. But I just don't understand Ja being third ahead of both Ant and Evan Mobley. I wouldn't put Mobley ahead of Ant either. It's defensible. I think they're actually probably about tied. Mobley was ranked 6th before last season. By the way, Anthony Edwards before last season was ranked 9th on this list and shot all the way up to 5. Ja Morant last year was ranked 3, and he's 3rd again. So I wanted to point that out. But Evan Mobley's at least defensible. I mean, he was a top 5 shot blocker in terms of the per-game stats. He's probably going to make an all-star team as soon as this year, and Cleveland's going to start winning as soon as this year. Topic for another show. In fact, they did cover this a couple weeks ago. Cleveland does not have a better team or better roster than the Timberwolves, but they will win more games this year, and Mobley will get his credit. I don't understand putting Ja Morant third over Mobley and Anthony Edwards. I just don't get it. For all the reasons that I already stated, I think Ant at 5 is frustrating. Zion's at 6 for what it's worth. Scottie Barnes is at 7, which is a little lower than I would have expected. I mean, he won the Rookie of the Year this year, right? He did have 2 executives vote him as high as 4th, which means he likely was ahead of Zion. He likely was ahead of, possibly ahead of Ant. So I'm surprised he's that low. LaMelo Ball's only 8th. He was ranked 4th last year after winning Rookie of the Year, and he was an all-star this season. One executive had him as high as 3rd. Last year, he actually got a first place vote in this exercise. Now, we don't know if they're the same 15 executives or not. Probably not. But I just, like, this list is weird. It's just really weird. I mean, it's all the right guys, right? It's the right players to be on this list. Trae Young's 9th. Darius Garland is 10th. They have a typo here on the list. Cade Cunningham is 11th, a little lower than I would have thought. Jalen Green is 12th, which is a little higher than I would have thought. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, 13th, a little lower than I would have thought. So it's like the right guys. I just would not have ordered them in this way. And obviously it's a composite ranking depending on or based on what everybody said. So go check it out at Hoopsype. Again, Michael Scotto wrote the article and conducted the survey, presumably. It's a little maddening, but it's a fun exercise. It's fun to consider. I would be willing to bet that Ant ranks better in the similar question that is typically asked in the NBA.com survey, the GM survey that comes out usually late September, right around the start of training camp. So less than 2 weeks, about 10 days from now. I'd be willing to bet that in a similar question in that survey, Ant is going to end up higher or at least in a competitive spot to Ja Morant, not a couple spots below him and apparently several second place votes. You know, what did Ja have? 4 second place votes compared to 0 for Anthony Edwards. So I think that's something we'll take a look at here in the next couple of weeks is that GM survey at NBA.com. All right. I want to do a couple of roster preview things today. A couple guys that are on the fringes of the Wolves rotation. We've moved through the bottom part of the roster, so we're going to start into rotation guys today. First, though, let's talk about our title sponsors of today's show, and that is our friends at BetOnline. BetOnline.net is your number one source for all your pro and college football betting needs and sports info this season. Of course, college football tonight, tomorrow, Saturday. And pro football, of course, we're one game down into week 2, a bunch of games Sunday. There's actually 2 Monday night games this week. I love basketball and I love baseball. Football is frankly the most fun sport to bet. I just don't have as much fun betting basketball. I just, first of all, like to enjoy it, but, you can bet it all at BetOnline. It's fantastic. You find all the latest football league developments, game matchups, news, and podcasts, including this year's opening week's games. BetOnline is also your continued source for all your sport wagering information, including live betting, esports, and scores, the fastest and easiest way to check in on all your favorite sports and events, including MLB, which is ongoing. The Twins are teetering on the edge of playoff contention, I guess. They've been in contention all year, not as much anymore. Well, they've played better lately. MMA, boxing, and golf. You can head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and action. Bet online, where the game starts. Which NBA player moves the betting line the most this season? Is it Steph Curry, Kevin Durant, LeBron James? What about Giannis Antetokounmpo? Locked On and the BetOnline odds makers present the NBA Top 50 Most Valuable Players starting Monday, September 19th, this coming Monday. Find it on Locked On NBA, wherever you get your podcasts and on YouTube. I'll have some thoughts on where some Wolves players ranked. We got a sneak peek at the list this week, and I have more axes to grind when it comes to this list. We'll talk about it next week, so stay tuned for that on the Locked On NBA feed, everywhere you listen to podcasts, YouTube, etc., on Monday the 19th, this coming Monday. Okay. Let's continue our roster preview series, and that means we are going to talk about the guys that are kind of on the fringes of the rotation, really. We already covered the Exhibit 10 guys. We covered the two-way players. Exhibit 10, of course, the non-guaranteed roster guys, and then also the rookies, plus Nate Knight, who was a two-way guy last year. We talked about Josh Minot and Wendell Moore Jr. on Wednesday, the two draft picks that will be on the roster. Now we have the top 12, presumably the top 12 players in the rotation. I have a clear top 9. The three guys right outside, and I'm going to tip, I guess, what we'll start Monday with, are in no particular order, Bryn Forbes, Austin Rivers, and Naz Reid. I think the other nine are pretty well set in stone, it just kind of depending on, you know, lots of, you know, matchups and things like that. But I would say Naz, Forbes, and Rivers are all kind of teetering on the edge. They're in some order, 10th, 11th, and 12th on the depth chart overall. So today I want to start with Bryn Forbes because I think he's probably the 12th man. So let's talk about Bryn today. His value, of course, is as a shooter. It's as a veteran. It's as somebody with just a ton of experience, right? A rotation guy at times late in the season last year for Denver, a playoff team, and then also was a rotation guy on a championship team with the Bucks a couple of years ago. So this is a guy, and of course, played a long time with the Spurs with Greg Popovich. He didn't always play a lot early in his career, and they weren't always outstanding, you know, while he was there. But an outstanding pedigree of coaches played for, from Popovich to Budenholzer in Milwaukee, and of course Michael Malone in Denver. Great teams he's played on. He's played a role everywhere he's gone. Last year he was a 41% three-point shooter between Denver and San Antonio. For his career, he's 41.3%. No matter where he goes, he shoots 41% from deep. The biggest problem with him is he's not great defensively, and he's just small. He's essentially a shooting guard in a point guard's body. He's 6'2". And that, of course, is an issue. I think the way he sees time is obviously injuries, which we don't, of course, hope for. I just have a tough time to see him. He's not going to play, obviously, over D'Angelo Russell, right? He's your starter. Jordan McLaughlin's a better defender than Bryn Forbes, even though he's even smaller than Forbes is. He's a better defender and has, you know, at this point, more chemistry with the rest of the roster, for whatever that's worth. Anthony Edwards is obviously Anthony Edwards. I'm just going through the backcourt now. Jalen Noel has far more promise upside. He's also bigger. He's a better all-around scorer than Forbes. Forbes isn't going to light any, you know, courts on, light the nets on fire when he's putting the ball on the floor and trying to score. That doesn't happen a lot for him successfully. Noel's just simply a better all-around scorer. Even though he's also not a good defender, he's at least got a little bit more size than Forbes. He's 6'4". Forbes is 6'2". And then, of course, Austin Rivers, who we'll talk about here in a minute. He's bigger. He's a better defender, clearly, than Bryn Forbes. He's a better defender than Jalen Noel, for that matter. And he gives enough presence in shooting that I think he'll be ahead of Forbes in the rotation. Forbes, again, a shooting guard in a point guard's body. When is he going to find minutes over Ant, D'Lo, and Jalen Noel? Those would be the three most obvious ones. I think matchups could dictate whether or not he sees minutes over Jordan McLaughlin. He can run some points. He has done that. It's not optimal, right? And you don't want him stuck out there having to guard athletic players, bigger players on the perimeter either. So he's an outstanding bench piece. Don't get me wrong. In terms of depth, this is the type of signing, along with Austin Rivers, who we'll get to next, that the Minnesota Timberwolves do not traditionally make. They don't sign guys who are, you know, vets who have played on playoff teams that can shoot 40% from three and are totally fine with being the 10th, 11th, 12th guy off the bench. I guess we're projecting that he'll be fine with it, but I'm sure that the role was discussed with Tim Connolly, who of course brought Forbes to Denver last year. And what he did in Denver was a little bit of a mixed bag, but he mostly did what he's done for his whole career. 56% of his shot attempts over the course of his career from the field have been 3-point attempts, and he shot over 41% on those attempts. Again, the big issue is defense. It's size. It's really, he's a catch and shoot guy who's only 6'2". That's what Bryn Forbes is. But to have somebody on your bench that you can bring into the game you know, in sideline out of bounds situations, you don't really want him coming in completely cold, but I'm sure you could do that. You know, guy, a depth guy who can step in and knock down threes, a low usage guy. Now when he's on the court, he shoots the ball a bunch because that's his only, the only thing he does. But if he is your fifth guy on the court because you're in foul trouble or whatever, I mean, you could do a lot worse than somebody who can stand there and knock down threes at a 41% clip and is a good teammate. So Bryn Forbes is an outstanding addition to this team. I do think he's 12th on the roster in terms of, you know, pecking order. If we're talking about guys getting minutes, the fact that he's a tweener between the one and the two is also a bit of a detriment to him and his potential to get minutes. But, at some point he's going to be called upon this year by Chris Finch and he's going to have a role to play. And frankly, I think I really like him as an addition. And I'm excited to see what he ultimately does for the Wolves this year. His contract, by the way, is guaranteed. Austin Rivers is only partially guaranteed. So Forbes, I mean, if you're going off contract, he's got more guaranteed money than Rivers. He's got more guaranteed money than Nate Knight, who we already talked about. You know, there's a chance that that matters. I don't know that it will, but I think it's worth pointing out that his contract, I believe, based on all the reporting we've seen, is fully guaranteed this season as well. All right, let's close the show by talking about Austin Rivers, where I think he'll fall in the rotation this year and in the Wolves pecking order. So we're going to do that here next. Austin Rivers is another one of those signings by the Timberwolves that, you know, your father's Timberwolves or your mother's Timberwolves or your Timberwolves, really any version of the Timberwolves, didn't make, right? The Wolves didn't make those additions to players who are, you know, in their prime-ish, Rivers and Forbes, that are strong bench guys. It was always, you know, in the past, it was veterans over the hill. And like, there were some guys, I'm going to say some names of guys that actually played well, like a Rod Strickland, like way back in the day, or Derek Martin, or, you know, any of these guys that were added. These are obviously now bigger names way later in their career, but guys that were trying to hang on and get wins with Kevin Garnett or get championships with Kevin Garnett, like an Antoine Walker or a Mike James, or, you know, some of those different players. The Wolves have actually added guys now who are deep bench guys or fringe rotation guys who have played bigger roles on playoff teams, and they want to keep doing that. And they're coming because of the executive and Tim Connelly in both the case of Forbes and Rivers, and because they want to play with Karl-Anthony Towns and Anthony Edwards. And, you know, I guess they signed before Rudy Gobert was traded for, but I'm sure they won't mind playing with Rudy Gobert protecting the rim either, especially a defensive-minded type player like Austin Rivers. Austin Rivers, by the way, was a miserable defender his first couple years in the league, and he 100% was skating by on some reputation stuff early in his career. He's become a good defender. He's a fine defender. He's a well-rounded offensive player. And there's a reason why he's not, like, ideally a rotation player, you know, for a playoff team, but he's a just outside the rotation guy that can come in and do a variety of things. He spent the last year and a half with Denver. He played some minutes on some decent Houston teams a couple years prior to that. He, of course, had his peak back in his mid-20s with the Clippers, playing for Doc still, his dad in L.A. And, you know, the three-point shooting has vacillated a little bit. It was bad early in his career. He shot like 30% total over his first three seasons, got back up to league average, and now it's hovering. Last year was only 34%, but a couple years prior, it was 37%, 35.5%. For his career, he's 34.9, so roughly 35%, which is close to league average from three. He's probably about an average defender. He can run the point. He can distribute. He can put the ball on the floor. He's kind of the definition of a solid all-around veteran player that can play both guard spots and can kind of, you know, steadily manage a team. He's 6'4". He's going to be 30, or he just turned 30, I guess, this summer, beginning of August. And this is not a fully guaranteed contract. It becomes fully guaranteed on that date in early January with a number of other, actually Jalen Noel and Nate Knight, all becoming guaranteed on that same day in early January. I mean, it's hard to see Rivers not being on this team past that date because he's that depth piece, and I'm sure that they'll get him enough minutes for him to be happy in Minnesota, but we'll see. I think he's probably the 10th or 11th guy. He could steal some minutes from either Jordan McLaughlin or Jalen Noel. And that's pretty much entirely based on matchups. And then also performance, of course. I mean, it kind of goes without saying, but if McLaughlin or Noel start to struggle or string together some bad performances, or even D'Lo, right? We saw that nobody's safe from Chris Finch. If he wants to bench you and you're not playing well, D'Lo got benched in favor of Jordan McLaughlin. Either one of those guys or Jalen Noel, I think, is probably the one who should be looking over his shoulder the most, because of how bad the defense has been. If Noel's not playing defense, the hook's coming And Austin Rivers is going into the game to be the veteran, the hard-nosed defender, calm things down, et cetera. Jalen can sometimes get going offensively, and then just it's Olay on the defensive end of the floor. And Austin Rivers is kind of the counter to that, the quiet counter to it, where Jalen's going to lose some of those minutes if he doesn't deliver defensively. And maybe if he's struggling offensively too. I think McLaughlin to a lesser extent. I think Rivers is more likely to see minutes at the point than Forbes is, frankly. You know, obviously he's a solid all around player that doesn't have the upside like a Jalen Noel, but absolutely a steadier player and a really, really good fit in terms of a depth piece for this roster. So I talked about this back in, what was it, mid-July when he was added. I love the Austin Rivers signing. I think it's fantastic. I think that he's turned himself into a really strong all-around NBA veteran, and I think he'll be roughly the, you know, the 11th guy thereabouts, maybe the 10th guy with some opportunity to play. I mean, he could be the type of player who, like, say Ant tweaks his ankle. I hate even saying that, but say that happens, or say he has a sore knee, or they sit him on a back-to-back or whatever, and you need a starter at the two, maybe you want to leave Jalen Noel on his bench role because he's such a good six-man type scorer. He's a great bench scorer, a microwave, a three-level scorer, all that stuff. It could be the classic, hey, let's pull the veteran up out of his role as the 10th, 11th guy and put him in the starting rotation so that Noel's role doesn't necessarily change. Maybe Noel plays more minutes because there's no Ant in the scenario. Or if D'Lo doesn't play, you could start Rivers at the point guard spot and have your primary backup one still be Jordan McLaughlin. So I think he's the kind of guy who won't play some nights. He may not play in, you know, a handful of games across October, November, December, but I think he could see some starts if the Wolves have some injury issues or, you know, things of that nature to open up some potential opportunity for Austin Rivers. All right, that's all we have for you today. Of course, we'll be back on Monday again, Monday, Wednesday, Friday next week, and we'll be kind of cruising through the rest of the roster preview, top 10 players next week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. We won't quite get it all the way done. The following week, training camp starts. Media day is the following Monday, and we will be back to 5 shows a week, Monday through Friday, the week after next. So be sure you're following the show wherever you listen to podcasts. A big thank you for those of you that do make Locked On Wolves your first listen every day. Of course, you can watch on YouTube. You can listen wherever you listen to podcasts. You can also follow on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves and at B Beacon with 2 B's, 2 E's, C-K. Ian. Of course, Locked On Wolves is part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Remember, the Locked On Network is your local experts on all the biggest stories. For your second listen, go ahead and get up to date on the latest news and rumors in the league in just 30 minutes every single day with Locked On NBA. Locked On NBA, your daily NBA update in just 30 minutes. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.